does Monica's parents know about the podcast? And if so, what are their feelings on the podcast? This is just one of the things. She brought up a couple good ones. But this one is like the only one that I would be like, ooh, I don't know if I should, I don't know if Bobby's going to want to talk about this.
I've asked that already.
I don't think, if so, it's not best for the show. But she brings up the point that if she was Monica's sister, which I don't even know if Monica has sisters, but just walk down the aisle with me. If she was Monica's sister, she might feel some type of way about self-promotion while you're in prison off of the horrible tragedy that involved her family. And I'm like, yeah, I can see where that's a little bit, you know.
No, that's ridiculous. Self-promotion? What does that even mean? What do you mean? Oh, trying to do something for yourself? Oh, yeah, no, that's a terrible thing. Let's not do what? Self-promotion?
That might not
be like...
That might not be the exact word she used, but it's close. It's a good paraphrase.
And, yeah, so if that was the fucking case, then the fact that Monica's parents are keeping my kid from me, we're all flush. We're all even. Fuck you talking about. Oh, no, yeah, no, so the option is just don't do anything. Don't let anyone know about this. This is, see, that's self-promotion.
Yeah, hey, you don't need to reply like that. She's not coming at you sideways in this.
Yeah, well, that's how I'm fucking feeling.
Yeah, well, simmer down there.
If you feel you're being victimized or extorted by this prisoner, please contact customer service at 855-466.
All subject matter of the preceding podcast is entirely alleged and not admissible in a court of law. A recklessly minimal effort has been taken to change the names and details of any guilty parties. And just in case you rat bastards get any ideas, the hosts of this podcast are notorious and well-documented liars with no legally admissible credibility. This is Mama C, and you're listening to Notes from the Pen podcast. Welcome to prison, bitch.
And greetings again from the prison industrial complex. You're listening to the Notes from the Pen podcast. This is the captain of the ship, Freddy Schnertz. And with me, of course, I have along in the boat wake. I don't have your hype music lined up, but you're all right. You don't need that. I have Chino. What's up, Bobby?
Bobby C. What's up? You know, the new year has rung in, and I'm here feeling... I don't know, appropriately annoyed for this early in the morning, but ready to check in with the viewers and yourself and just, lay something down.
It is a little bit early for us, but we both just kind of got up, pounded a little bit of coffee. I took a freezing cold shower, so I'm feeling all right. I could do some push-ups right now. Maybe I will in between the calls. I got shit to do later, and we got to get something ready for the next podcast. So here we are, and it's a new year.
Yay! You could do push-ups right now. I could punch a wall a couple times. That's how I'm feeling today.
Okay. Well, I wish you were had my headphones on because there's a level of, I guess it depends on which phone Bobby calls me from. Because most of the time he calls me, I can hear, obviously, in both ears of my headphones. But there's one phone out there on the yard that I can only hear from the left. And coincidentally, Bobby can barely hear me on that phone. This phone he's using today, he can hear me well, but now it's only in the right side of my headphones, which, personal problem.
This isn't that phone. You're crazy if you think I'm outside right now. It's fucking snowing and... There's no walls within punchable distance out there, so I'm inside. I must have the shitty one inside. Yay,
okay.
Happy New Year. Oh,
yeah.
One of the good ones opened up. I'm just staring longingly at it.
Punchingly at it. So, since it's the new year, the show would like to recognize that when we published the last one, myself, St. Producer, we didn't know we were in some sort of season two. We don't really know what that means. We don't know if we can erase that. We don't know if we should keep that. Certainly, if we knew we were going to be like starting a new season, then we would have, you know, maybe made more production out of it. I get, you know what I mean? Like the end of season six friends or cheers or I don't know. And then the beginning, we'd start a new topic or a new, I don't know. I just feel like creatively something different would have happened, but we didn't know that shit was going to happen. So
unceremoniously rang in a new season without us even knowing. On brand, it's on brand. Pizza, corn, lettuce. It just spreads to the world, too. This ain't the only place that pizza, corn, lettuce happens, as the viewers out there are well aware.
Well,
I mean, actually, it's not even pizza, corn, lettuce. It's a new year. So, pretty presumptuous on the part of Anchor or Apple Podcast or whatever, but, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, and so, speaking of the new year, that's got to be exciting for you. Because, you know, new year, new you, you got resolutions, you got, certainly you got lots of stuff going. I mean, you had to celebrate, pop a little champagne, a little spud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. You know, you the viewers know, this is my least favorite of the holidays. Because it's the one time where I really feel like I'm missing out on a party and a gathering and camaraderie. Although it just represents all, you guys know that. This year, however, didn't feel so bad because there was no one in Times Square. Everyone was watching the same thing, and it actually made me feel kind of connected in a shitty, spoiled, like, brat type of way. Like, if I'm grounded, then sis should be grounded, too. Now I feel better. It's like, there's no fucking...
I had forgotten that this was the one holiday that bums you out the most because it's the one time where you're like, know where you would be at or what you knew you would be around friends and around company and around, you know, a cheerful event of some type. So, yeah, I guess, what is that, like Schadenfreude or something where you're like, yeah, well, if they can't have, maybe I'm misrepresenting that. And by, oh, just quick side note, I just realized that I thought I had a left ear, right ear issue. No, Freddie Dum Dums has his headphones on backwards. So they would have been left ear just like it was the one the other time. So there you go.
Technical difficulties.
Nah, I think we can power through it. But we've got New Year, so that probably means fuck all for you. I mean, you're not. Well, I guess I do have a couple quick questions for it.
It means something in that the calendar year that we always round down. Like when we have how much, we round up on how much time we've been in here and we round down on the calendar year based on how much time we have left. So I get out in 2025 if nothing changes. So that's 4 years. The fact that it's later in 2025 is, we're not going to talk about that. But so in that sense, I'm a year closer to the door.
Yeah, so that's a bit uplifting. Does anyone in prison have a resolution? Are they like, do you think like Joe's like, okay, I'm going to quit catching these.
You have 1 minute remaining.
I'm going to stop having to write essays.
Yeah, the first lie of the year. That's what any of Joe's resolutions are. Just the first lie he's going to tell himself of the year. And most people, I'm the same way. Yeah, no, Joe doesn't. Yeah, he probably made one just so he could declare it so someone would listen when he's, you know, like, I picked, this is what I picked.
I'm going to start working
more
out.
More about the pronunciation of his New Year's resolution than actually any goal in mind, you know? And which, he needs me around to call him on that shit, because he would declare that he has a New Year's resolution, and I would say that you're only saying this so you have something to say in this moment, and everyone's looking at you, and like, you picked a thing, like, this is my favorite song, shut up, you don't mean any of it. What's yours, Gino? I don't fucking have one.
Did chow change at all for the new year? Or was there cabbage and black-eyed peas or anything traditional in any way?
No, it's the same old nonsense. It always is. Everything's going downhill. The shit goes in one direction in here, and it's not up. Yeah.
When's the last time you had
corned beef? Go ahead.
I just wanted to know about corned beef, if that was on the menu. No, cat head?
Countless cat heads. Yeah, we're not. I'm already bummed out enough today. I'm not. The menu isn't going to be. By the way, our first bilingual promotion or plug that we got from a guy from the Netherlands, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Denmark?
No, it was the Netherlands.
Any, anyways, in it, he gives, like, this really thoughtful, pretty, like, unbiased, accurate, almost like clinical, like, review of what our podcast is. And in it, he says, it's not the documentarian style as much as it's, like, a radio show format. You know what I mean? And now, ever since I heard that, now when I talk, whenever we're having banter back and forth, I'm like, gross. This is so morning radio. I fucking hate it. I just like I'm self-conscious about it now. Like, I'm talking, and I'm like, he wasn't saying it as an insult, and he's not wrong. And, you know, we used to love listening to talk radio all the time. And now I'm like, just can't help feeling like Drunky the Bear or fucking Baba Booey or some shit. You know what I mean? I just wanted to say, yeah.
Yeah, but we do dumb shit. I mean, I got a whole board in front of me. Of course, it probably comes off. You're right. It's fucking bad. But, what do you want?
It's just hack.
That's what keeps it real.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have a little bit more information on our listener or viewer from the Netherlands. Remember how we were arguing about how to pronounce his name? And after I got thinking about it, I was like, how do I know it's a him? Why do I naturally think that this name that could be Michelle or whatever? So anyway, the question I have for you is, how do you pronounce a guttural Dutch G? Just like a hard G,
you
right?
You don't. It's just more of a look. I don't know.
It's stylized.
I have no idea.
I think it's so. He described how to pronounce his name, which is Miguel, and I think it's as in not a soft G. I guess. I don't know. Am I supposed to like talk something up, or, you know, like Miguel? I don't know. Miguel. I don't know where the accent is, but. All right, we're you know what? We are hacky radio.
Just goddamn hacky morning radio. Like the morning radio shit before the guys get their coffee in them. You know what I mean? Where it's like they're just waking up and they're like telling you what's going to be on the show today. It hacks. Fucking hacks. Oh, Russ Rollins.
Yeah, now you're calling up the locals. But yeah, I have no problem with that. So no traditions, no campaign. All right, so let's get to... We had a viewer question. Now, typically, I should inform everybody, for when we do viewer questions, which now that you told me that, I was planning on trying to have some music for viewer questions, like let's intro to viewer questions, and now I'm like, you know what, fuck that. That's a horrible idea.
There's just guys in fucking concrete trucks just driving to work. There's the Roach Coach, and they're just listening to this. They're stopping at fucking Speedway to get their morning coffee and their dip and shit, and they're just listening to us. That's stupid. No.
Yeah, but that's probably accurate. That's not a bad thing.
Oh, that's not accurate. There's no way our guys are our people. Well, they might. They're going to work. They're not going, you know, they're not going to dig footers and shit.
They might be. They might be like, hey, prison podcast. I my buddy's in the joint. Or, you know, I've been to jail. I know what's up. You know, I've had...
They're like, why do they sound like douchey Central Florida morning radio guys? Because they are.
And the one guy's got a southern accent. Fuck him. So we've got a little bit of a... So what I was trying to get at is normally when I ask Bobby questions or viewer questions, I don't prompt him. I don't tell him what they're going to be because I want to get... You know, and he agrees with this. Like, no, I don't want it. What do you tell me, Bobby? You don't want to know?
I don't know. Sometimes it's like a give and take because we don't ever want anything to sound rehearsed. Clearly, something we don't have to fucking worry about, even when it is rehearsed. But sometimes it puts me on my heels to where I can't get. Like, I'll go back later and I'll be like, "Ooh, I didn't really like think about." There's a better answer I could have given. You know what I mean? So there's a give and take.
Right, but every once in a while we'll get a viewer question, and I'm like, ooh, that's a spicy meatball right there. I can't just spring this on him. I'm gonna have to now if it's embarrassing or something like that. But you know, when it's closer to the heart, then I definitely don't want to spring it on him because I don't want to embarrass him or I don't know. It just seems like a douche move out of me. You know what? Maybe I should have done it because then we could have really ratcheted up the uncomfortable, you know, the morning radio guy trying to make somebody uncomfortable. So we have a viewer that's in South Africa, and their moniker is DKB. And they usually have, as it's a weird phenomenon that the international listeners seem to always have the more thoughtful questions. Now, I'm not shitting on any of the questions from people from the States, but, you know, we don't get tons of international questions. But when we do, it seems like, oh, wow, that's a good one. Why didn't we think of that? So anyway, DKB has a good question. And before we get to the question, he or she also has a good anecdote. This is at @cricket_bird for anybody who wants to check DKB out on Twitter. And
morning,
let's
Brady.
See, there's a so here's a New Year's Day prison fact from South Africa. Eddie Daniels became close friends with Nelson Mandela while he was imprisoned on Robben Island. He noticed helicopters would fly over the island with supplies for the island in large baskets in their underbellies. Before his release in 1979, Daniels devised a daring plan to rescue Mandela and another dude in a helicopter. He chose New Year's Day in 1981 for the so-called Daniels Plan because, being a public holiday, there was a lot fewer guards on and they were on less alert. While prisoners were in the yard, a helicopter fly over and lower the basket. Mandela would hop inside and be flown to the roof of the nearest foreign embassy and would ask for political asylum. Mandela agreed, but the ANC never approved the plan. Any guesses on what the ANC is, Bobby?
None.
Yeah, I had none either. I had to. It's like a ghost gerbil message. There's like a word or two I have to look up. But, you know, whatever. I'm a dumb American. So the ANC is like the African National Congress, I believe. Oh, I pray to God I'm butchering that. I'm pretty sure it's the African National Congress. And it's the political party that took over. It's Nelson Mandela's political party. And once apartheid ended, I believe 1994, they've been the ruling party ever since. So there's some fun facts from South Africa while we're talking about South Africa. So,
and are you done with the reading?
Yeah, maybe I should have practiced it and not had a cold read.
Well, yeah, I'd like to thank the viewers for sitting in on Teaching Jeremy to Read live. Our new segment, Teaching Jeremy to Read, Notes from the Pen, new segment. So stay tuned for more of those. We're going to start with the next one's going to be a Cat in the Hat book. We can't get through that without any stutters or flubs. And maybe work our way up to War and Peace eventually.
Yeah, we'll get a little Tolstoy in here.
Morning radio bit. Yeah.
Well, I should have read it.
Whatever you do, don't read it and then just explain it more smoothly next time. Don't read it first and then just lay it down in a better way, like I know you can. Let's just fumble through. Okay. Happy New Year.
I think maybe I should do more reading on air. I don't feel like I'm a great out loud reader, so maybe it'll both embarrass me and like it kind of makes my skin hot. Like, oh shit, I got to read aloud. Like I'm back in class and I'm the slow kid and I'm stuttering. Maybe that's something we can work on.
How much of a prick I was. One of my favorite things, probably the only favorite thing for a while in school when we were first learning to read, was when the slow kid would read. And I remember, like, specifically, he would read, like, a line, and then go, when the line would end, when he would jump down to the next line, he would miss his space. And so it was like the sentences were all chopped together, and I'd be like a six-year-old Bobby C. just cracking up at how stupid this kid sounded. What a prick I was. What a prick I was. And it's great to have that little childhood flashback, except with you involved this time, who I know is not a dum-dum.
So you ready for me to get into DKB's little bit spicier meatball?
Are you going to have to read it, or did she send it?
No, I can't wait to read it. I'm looking. I'm fucking hyped to read it.
Let's go. We're all going to bear with you. We're all rooting for you. With people all over the world. Let's go.
Okay. This might be too heavy and personal of a question, and I should preface that I think it's remarkable that Bobby has been able to draw so much attention to the prison system. I wonder what Monica's family thinks of the blog and the podcast. If Monica were my sister, I'd be very irritated by what might be construed as, quote, self-promotion. And yes, I am opposed to all kinds of detention centers. So that sounds like, you know, that's not... Well, go ahead.
Well, first of all, if Monica had a sister, we should probably contact her family and let her know the good news, because she doesn't have any sisters. But I get the idea of the question. And when you first, because, you know, you mentioned you would, like, drop this on me at first, and this is, like, morning caffeine just seeping in. I'm like, self-promotion? Shut the fuck up. Like, you know, like, that's, like, my initial. But, you know.
Wait. No. You were a complete prick. And I have to be like, whoa, this is easy.
Well, you didn't read that to me, though, like that. You just said the last part. You didn't give me, like, the setup that was like, hey, listen, this is what I do, and I appreciate this, and I'm glad you do this. But I was, you know what I mean? You just gave me the punchline where I was like, so I really, in my defense, I didn't have anything to go on, but, like, why are you promoting yourself, you know?
Yeah, and that's the same reason why I read about Nelson Mandela, because I didn't want to be like, hey, did you know on New Year's Day back in, like, the 80s, they tried to fly him out of there on a helicopter? That would have been a cool prison thing. But it was put in whatever.
But the thing was, I had to go back upstairs because we weren't quite ready to lay one down. So when I went up there, on the walk up, like, when I have, like, emotional triggers like that, the first thing I do is go, like, wait, what was that about? Why did I feel that, like...
You have 1 minute remaining.
Why did I feel that heat in my chest? Because that's not a good thing. And, like, what? So I thought about it, and was able to think more articulately about how I feel, what I wanted to say. And the truth is that I have an internal compass that guides, like, what this thing is that we're doing. And my opinions have to be put by the wayside, or my feelings have to be put by the wayside. I talk about tons of uncomfortable things, because one of the main goals of all of this is to be able to get out this lesson in the tragedy, to get something positive from it, which it would include, like, people learning from my story about mental health and addiction, and as well as the prison industrial complex and all this stuff. And so I have moments where I don't want to talk about the shit that needs to be spoken about. Those are my feelings, but those aren't my internal compass. I can't; those do not guide me. I can take them into consideration, but they don't guide me. So certainly, someone else's opinions have to fall by the wayside too.
Thank you for using GTL.
So So what I was saying was that. No, I understand the question. I've made up my mind that this case, and the question, I think, would raise irony because the way it was framed. Is self-promotion. You got, like, if that's what anyone was to think that it's what is happening, you'd be wrong. That there is some sort of promotion about this in the story, but it's not self-promotion. That's all, that comes secondary, tertiary to the goal of, like, this experience, even larger than my original, like, what happened with me, is also about what's going on in here and how people are treated and what is broken and what works in the system and what could be changed. And that is my responsibility, is to tell this story so as many people can learn from it as possible, right? Right behind that is, somewhere behind that, but certainly above my feelings and someone else's, is what Monica would want. And Monica would love this. She would be fully on board for this. So I can't allow those other things. And if this was self-promotion, this would be about... all the books I've written, the shows I've written, you know what I mean? This would be, there's plenty of things that I'm doing that are personal, for my personal benefit, that would take front and center stage if that's what this was about, and we never even mention them. So this isn't about self-promotion, and I think that's where, like, some of my ire was, like, raised from. And it was also the fact that, like, well, you know, when all this happened, when I got sentenced in court, like, her mom specifically was like, I know this was an accident, and then went on to say, but fuck you, and yeah, I don't want you to talk to your kid anymore. So it's kind of like, well, that's kind of fucked up, but if that's the way it's going to be, I can't change it. I've done what I can to try to, but I have to accept the reality. But, you know, you kind of give up the right to, like, complain about something like that and have me register that as something that's going to change, which I wouldn't anyways, because as long as the internal guide that is outside of myself and is about a larger picture is more meaningful than anything personal I'm going through, then that's the guide. And everything else we can talk about, but it's not going to change. It's not going to steer this ship. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can dig it.
I can't let it. Because it'll be, then what would it be? It'd be a rudderless boat. It'd be a talk morning radio show.
There's another good one that follows up with it from DKB again. And she says, or he says, I'm curious what Bobby, I don't know gender for DKB.
I think it's a she.
I only think it's a she because the way he or she writes, there's no ego involved. But
well,
a lot
of, she said sister. If I was, why would you be a man? If I was, why wouldn't you say brother?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good thinking. Yeah. All right. All right. So now I, okay. Pronoun secured. Level up. She says, I'm curious what Bobby thinks would have been a fair consequence/punishment for what happened in his scenario. I think that's an interesting question.
Well, that's a good question. I thought about this before, and people have asked this before. Well, without like getting too deep into like what the purpose the state has in creating laws and punishments, I guess just briefly. So, in my case specifically, has to do with an accident that stems from mental health originally, and then substance abuse, and then suicide attempt. So there would have to be some sort of deterrent, which would be the sentence. You're removed from society. That's viewed as some sort of a punishment. But that should be secondary to rehabilitation. So I don't know. I think I should have spent an indeterminate amount of year. I don't know this. You'd have to do studies and base this on science instead of emotion, which is how for the last couple hundred years we've based our sentencing guidelines on emotion, on vengeance, on revenge, and fury and anger and whatever, retribution. We should do studies to find out where that line lies for each crime as far as how much, what the threat of incurred punishment is for deterrence of it, and also a rehabilitation. All right? So I should have spent a couple years in prison, but in a prison where it's focused on mental health and in substance abuse, in that if I had never showed any progress or anything like that, and I was going to go out and, you know, I'll be a threat to society again in that sense, then I don't know, there should probably be some leeway there. But I'd say a couple of years of intense, and depending on the progress I showed that I had made. To tell you the truth, I could have been let out immediately afterwards, like a month afterwards, after some of the realizations and understandings of what had happened. I can never try to kill myself again. I forfeited that right when I hurt all the people around me. And then in that moment, I instantly learned more than any large place or systematic punishment would teach me. I learned that already. But there still has to factor in the deterrence of people not committing those, not attempting those type of acts, which I don't think it really applies to suicide, but it would apply to things like theft. So if I stole something and I learned my lesson immediately, there would still have to be some form of punishment to deter other people for the math equation in their head to go, well, if I just steal this and learn my lesson, I'll be good, so I'll get let out. There needs to be a math equation that would make it not really worthwhile and not in excess of the deterrent factor. So let's say it was a month for whatever you're stealing, it was determined a month. You wouldn't do 10 years or 5 years or a year. You would use a month because they would have determined that that's the deterrence factor and then the rehabilitation once you are locked up. So I don't know, a couple years with some help, you know. There was extenuating circumstances in my case where I sought out help repeatedly before. I was like literally throwing my hands up to the system going, I need fucking help. My brain is broken. I lost my insurance. I can't take my mental meds, my mental health, my depression, and all these other mood stabilizing drugs I was on because I lost my health insurance, and I can tell something's broken. Please help me. Please help me. Please help me. and then it didn't work. So those things have to be addressed too, and those things should have been taken into account when I was sentenced, and I was led to believe they would, and then they weren't. Not only were they not, that these elected officials like judges look at a high profile case and then they say, well, if I can get away with it, like if this guy's just going to let me sentence him to whatever, I'm going to go to the max so I don't have any blowback. Justice or any of that stuff was not taken into account at all. And so, that's a tough question. But I'd say some time for sure to make sure that I was fixed and that there was some sort of deterrent from other people attempting to take their life to solve a problem.
Yeah, that's something that this I don't know, kind of melds into me asking you. When we first connected, I was surprised to hear you tell me, no, there's people that definitely need to be in here. Because I was kind of more like, no, fuck prisons. That's not helping anybody. That we need a whole different system. And you're like, no, some people in society, like, you're like, I remember you telling me, you go, Jeremy, some of these dudes need to be in here. Like, yeah. They need to be in timeout. Now, regardless of whether we're doing anything to rehabilitate them, it's always going to be stuck in my mind, the duffel bag rapist that, you know, had the intent of rape and kill and then dump a body in an alley and the poor girl unzips herself. Like, that dude got out. And not only that, while he was in there, he was a sexual deviant trying to take advantage of people. I think even somebody that we interviewed, if I'm not mistaken, I'm not sure. So with that in mind, I got a continuance of that same question she's asking, and she's like, and what would be a fair consequence of other crimes like assault, a theft, or nonviolent drug offenses? And that got me thinking, yeah, I could ask Bobby, you know, let's go down a list. Let's name a crime. And then Bobby comes up with a appropriate amount of time served. But I don't know that it's that simple. Seems like there should be in a fairer system, like, yes, there should be some sort of punishment for deterrence, but there should also be like huge psychological evaluations. Like even where you're saying like, oh, well, I should have got this. And I should, like, let's just say, theft. Okay. Well, theft, we did some studies and we determined that for theft, you should get, 2 months in jail. But that's not going to be for everybody. If you're, I don't know, you see these rich people that like to shoplift, even though they don't need to, they just kind of get high off of it. Or then you think about somebody that's poor and they're stealing food because they need to eat.
Yeah, that's,
like, well, how do you, yeah. There has to be some sort of psyche eval to even determine what the length of time is.
Well, it would have to be, and you'd have to determine. So so we're kind of painting an ideal picture of the purpose of law and order, crime and punishment. So in a perfect system like that, we could afford to create a hypothetical system.
You have 1 minute remaining.
In which the state also has a responsibility to make sure that the basic human needs are also met. And if people are breaking laws to meet the basic human needs, then, and it can be proven, and that's what it is, because that's a lot where crimes stem from, a lot of crimes stem from. And if that's the case, then those need to be taken into account, too. If you're stealing bread to feed your family, you would do that over and over again, and everyone would agree that you should do that over and over again, because feeding your family is on the hierarchy of Maslow's needs is above, you know, whatever fine you might incur or, you know, a couple days, whatever it is, you know, that shit should be taken into account. But I do want to point on the thing, talk a little bit more about what you said, and that there are absolutely people that cannot be in your neighborhood, cannot be around your kids, cannot be, they are predators in every sense of the word, sexually, financial, everything. They do not give a fuck. They will take what you have by.
Thank you for using GTL.
So there are people in here that absolutely cannot just be running rampant in society. But one of the things that discredits our system is the arbitrary nature in which we choose who to release and who to keep in here. But also, like, sociopaths aren't, they're not bound by moral regulators in their head about what's right and wrong, right? But it's been shown that sociopaths appealing to their own self-interest through the deterrent factor of punishment of crimes can be deterred from committing crimes based on their own self-interest, which is where the deterrent thing comes in. Because there are plenty of people in here that aren't going to be part of your PTA group and your neighborhood watch for any reason other than to pick out victims and stuff. And so there's, I want to make that clear that in order to have any credibility when you talk about prison and prison reform, you have to say that it serves a purpose. It's just what purpose and how effective is it, which I would argue needs an overhaul. But back to the second part. Oh, yeah, about, like, what crimes. Yeah, yeah, definitely there. It would be a huge thing, and it'd be a huge comprehensive study. And when I wrote the Reformation of American Incarceration, that's one of the big disclaimers in there. Look, you'd have to put together this board of criminal crime prevention analysis with psychologists, sociologists, criminologists, like everyone, and you'd have to study all these things and put a big, you'd have to look at it like science. You'd have to approach it how you approach physics or anything like that. You'd have to be tons of studies on it, the greatest minds collective, because this is something that is of utmost importance to our society and how it functions. You know, I think we have the funding to do it, and we should do it.
Do you think we base the current system on some sort of, like, biblical type stuff, like eye for an eye
Absolutely.
Type stuff?
Absolutely.
I'm hung up on intent. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you're absolutely right, I, of course. But then it's like that cherry-picking part of the Bible, right? Because you could pick out compassion and forgiveness is a major theme of the Bible. So it really, I think, has to that can be used as a reasoning for it, but I think it's more based on our lesser, more reactionary human emotions of, like, of vengeance and all that type shit. And at some point, you know, it's so crazy how much technology advances and our clean water systems and all these different things we're capable of, shooting people out of space, and we're still, our criminal justice system is still based on, like, caveman-ish, like immediately, as soon as humans got into society, it just stopped there, almost, you know, and at least in the American system. You know, we just stopped using in excess, in frivolous excess, long-term isolation. And it's still being used in America, that long after the UN declared it a human rights violation and stuff like that. We started to cut back. But it's just like, everything has progressed. It's time to catch up on this. And it's, and we're not. And there's not even, like, they're starting to get the push from the public and stuff. They just closed the unit.
You gonna get hung up on?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to hang my phone up and go upstairs before I get yelled at.
All right, don't get tased. We can get back to this later. Yeah, Bobby, and now we're back after a few hours of respite. I don't know if I use that right, but yeah.
Maybe like two. My wall punch ability scales through the roof again. Calm down. And actually, like, talking earlier was fine, you know, I was calling. And then just, it's one of those fucking days, man. I'm talking to you, and I'm on a bum phone. Skip chow in order to get out here on the phone to wrap this up real quick. And it's chicken patty day, one of the decent days. Well, just like a microwavable chicken patty, you get off the bag, off the freezer. It's all right. Close to real food. Not good food, but real food. So I skip it. I'm like, I'm going to jump on the phone. The phone I get on is shite.
Oh, it was terrible. It was the worst phone I've heard you on.
So now we bullshit long enough for the line to fill up. So now I'm like, geez, now I got to go get back in line. And I'm annoyed. So I'm looking to talk to nobody. So what I do is, if you're trying to avoid, I think this is for in the world too, but also in here, especially in here, people are talking in line. Like, it's a social thing. Like, hey, and they'll see you come up and they'll get the what's up. And then I'll give the not interested, like, hey, you know what I mean? So I'm staring up at the, you know, this is a five-story giant fucking building that is the housing unit in front of us. So I'm, like, looking up, not at anything specific, but just avoiding eye contact so no one gets the wrong idea that I'm out here to talk, right? Well, since it's hit, they're talking about football, like, three spaces ahead. And I'm just looking everywhere but where people are at, because I don't this is me with my, like, what's it like when the cat gets, like, the hair stand up on its back, right, and the ears fall flat? That's like me. So he comes by. He stops his whatever shit he's talking about, Jalen Hurts or whoever the fuck, and he's talking about Brady or something. And he comes back, and I'm staring up, and he stands, he's short, stands next to me, looks up to where I'm looking, and goes, what are we looking at? And I'm like, nothing. I'm not looking at anything. Well, what are you doing? I'm trying to avoid eye contact so you don't come. This is verbatim what I'm saying to him. So you don't come over here and give me a fucking ear beating under the mistaken intent that I was looking for one. And so he just stands there because now he's like committed to it. And I'm just taking everything I can. So finally, I give him enough of a berating. Like, hey, yeah, if you look at people online, they feel like it's time to chirp and squawk at you in some weird social thing. I'm not into it. There's no walls near close enough for me to punch, so beat it. Finally, he has to because his spot opened up on the phone in line. So yeah, so that's why I'm back and ready to punch a wall. There's no wall to punch. So I just want to set the tone for the viewers out there today. Today's a rough one for old Body C. And I don't know if it's just ringing in the new year with tons of cheer and high probability of punching walls today.
I was really kind of rooting for Cinta Tits. I kind of like it when you get annoyed like that.
Yeah, it probably doesn't make for great podcasting. Let's get back to some morning radio shit. Let's read. What do you got? Something to read? You got a pamphlet over there?
Maybe we should just play Silent Chicken.
Nah. The viewers have suffered enough on this one. and yeah, I take full responsibility for it. Partial responsibility. Happy New Year. Season 2, which we weren't even aware of. Thanks for telling us. We started our second season. Off to a great start. I was going to, when I was standing in line, trying to avoid any eye contact and ear beatings from any other inmates, I was like, I should end this with a good prison story, a good funny or fucked up prison story. And then I was harassed on the way, so I got nothing. I got nothing.
Okay, I got nothing either. So we can go to weather on the ones, and we can have the traffic lady tell us about the traffic. Yeah. And with that, I'd like to thank Mama C and all the viewers, Bobby, of course, and we out. Or we're gone. Either one. Fuck it.
We are. Listen, we're going to work on something to make sure we got a good one for the next one. But just stick with us. We are gone. Don't know how I'm going to deliver on that. This is just like one of those examples of like, it's hard, man. Like when I got a bunch of other shit on my mind, it's hard to like really unleash.
To learn more about Bobby and prison reform, go to notesfromthepen.com. This has been another Notes from the Pen production.